From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his eighth message in this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 3 records Israel's passage of the Jordan River. Before the people were the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant. According to God's command, as soon as the priests' feet entered the river, the waters of Jordan were cut off so that the people might pass through on dry ground. Very often the Jordan is used as a picture of death, and in the course of this message, Dr. Cairns is showing how this passage illustrates the Christian's encounter with the last enemy. The ark represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Since he has already passed through death and conquered it by his resurrection, he is able to bring his people safely through death's cold stream. In dealing with the subject of facing death through the living Christ, Dr. Cairns first emphasized the solemn truth that all of us live within the sight of Jordan. The shadow of death hangs over everything in life. Our time in this world is brief at best, and soon we must pass over the Jordan. Death is certain. It is universal. No one can escape it. And it is final. There is no going back. Against this solemn background, God's people may rejoice because Christ's entrance into Jordan guarantees the believer's safe passage to the other side. For the Christian, Christ has removed the fear of death. Dr. Cairns will return to the message shortly. First, he takes a few minutes to draw some important spiritual lessons from the ant.
To most of us, ants are pesky little creatures that get in our way, that bite us at all the wrong times. Well, actually, they're fascinating little creatures. Scholarly works have been written about them, and research into them has gone on for a long time and is still going on. We're told that there are perhaps between 12,000 and 14,000 different kinds of ants. They live in colonies of millions, and the great thing about them seems to be how they each learn their role, their function, and then set about doing it. And perhaps not least in the working of the colonies, how quickly and suddenly one functioning ant may turn to be employed in another function to meet a need that has suddenly arisen. So there's a lot of study going on about ants that are certainly fascinating. Even God tells us to study these little creatures. The Bible says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise." Now, why does the Bible say that? The Bible says that because the Bible says of the ant, "She provideth her meat in summer and gathereth her food in harvest." In other words, the Bible is saying, if you look at the ant, you'll find that the ant makes use of the opportunity that is before it. It doesn't waste its time. It does not refuse to labor. It doesn't merely say food would be nice to have and do nothing about it. It actually provides meat in the summer. It doesn't say, well, now is a harvest time. There's plenty of opportunity, but I have other things to do. No, it actually gathers its food in the harvest. The message of all this is very simple and it's very clear, that we should make the best use of the opportunity that we have. Now, the Bible is not merely speaking on a temporal level of making sure you provide food for yourself and your family. Obviously, there is that level of application. It's not enough to say it'd be good to have food and then do nothing about it. If you don't work, you don't eat. The Bible is saying, take and use the opportunity that's given you. But lift this whole thing up to a spiritual level. There are people and they say, oh yes, I would like to have my sins forgiven. I would like to know that I'm going to heaven. I would like to know that when I lay my head on the pillow at night, if I died, I would not be in hell. I would like to know, you know, all these things that they would like. But when you ask them, well, have you actually done anything about it? God says, I have written unto you the great things of my law, and they were accounted as a strange thing. I have set a Bible before you. Do you ever take down the Bible and read it? Have you ever opened the Bible to find out, what does God have to say to me about me? What does God have to say to me about my soul? What does God have to say to me about my salvation? Perhaps you say, well, I do read the Bible. Well, have you listened to the gospel? Well, you say, yes, preacher, I've listened to the gospel. Well, here comes the $64,000 question. Have you obeyed the gospel? The gospel commands all men everywhere to repent. The gospel tells you of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of sinners. He lived a perfect life, died an atoning death, shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins to reconcile us unto God. And he stands before us, commanding us to repent of our sin and receive him as our Saviour and as our Lord. Now, you may want to get to heaven, but you'll not get to heaven without Christ. So the question is, have you actually heard and obeyed the gospel? Go to the ant. Do not be a sluggard. Consider this, that if even that insignificant little creature does not waste the opportunity that God has given it for the limited purposes that it's created for, how can you, how can I, neglect the opportunity God has given us to obtain the greatest blessing that God gives to any creature, the blessing of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord? The Bible says, prepare to meet God. Do it today.
My Father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hands, of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold. His coffers are full, he has riches untold. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King. Stranger on earth, a sinner by choice and an alien by birth. But I've been adopted, my name's written down, an heir to a mansion, a robe and a crown. Should I care? They're building a palace for me over there. Though exiled from home, yet still I may sing, oh, glory to God. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. A child of the King. With Jesus.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We continue to receive encouraging response to these broadcasts, and we want you to know that we're very grateful to those of you who take the time to contact us. Among the various publications which we offer on these programs, the most popular is the quarterly LTBS magazine. The current issue includes a series of articles in observance of the 400th anniversary of the Authorized Version of the Bible. In addition, there are feature articles about Dr. Michael Barrett, president of Geneva Reformed Seminary, as well as a tribute to the great American theologian B.B. Warfield. Also, there's a missionary focus on the country of Bulgaria, as well as Any Day Soon by Jill Saunders, drawing vital lessons from a young Christian girl's battle with cancer. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues such as, what is revival? Can women be pastors? And how do we distinguish faith from presumption? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
You die with your eyes on Christ, then you can say heaven's morning breaks, earth's vain shadows flee. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me. Is there a better prayer? Is there a better supplication? Is there anyone else you would rather have with you? And in that hour of death, when you come to die, you're not looking for the worldly crowd. I was terribly grieved to read an article some few years ago and to hear a news item. I wondered how stupid can parents be? How absolutely crazy can people become? A young child was just weeks or months away from eternity. The best thing they could do for him was to bring some rotten rock star whose life was an insult to God and to man. That would make him happy. But I want to tell you, when that child would be dying, when any man, woman, or boy, or girl is passing out into eternity, it's not a rock star they need or want. The people who frequent the bars in life are not looking for the bartender then. The people who are running to the world's entertainments are not looking for the singers and the dancers then. What use are they? You don't look for those people. There's only one who can stand by you in that hour. That's the one who is emblematized by this ark. See Christ. Get your eyes on him now. When the hour of death comes, you'll be able to see him. I believe, while there may appear to be exceptions as some people die in awful physical agony, and especially as they are doped out with painkillers, I'm always aware that we can only see so much. We don't know what the Lord is doing in the mind, but I believe that it is a very general rule that however weak his people, however faltering their faith, God draws near. Before they cross the Jordan, he shows them Christ. Shows them Christ. Again and again. And I don't think this is delirium. Not for a moment do I think it's delirium. Again and again, you have one Christian after another, from little children all the way up to aged saints, who as they come to the last moments of life, reach out because they say he has come. They see the Lord. They see the Lord. There's one who has entered Jordan before us. And thank God, the final thing we'll note is that his entrance into Jordan guarantees the safe passage of all his people. The last two verses of the chapter tell us that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up in a heap. And then verse 17, the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm in dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over in dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Every one of them got over safely. Wasn't one stumbled. There wasn't one fell. There wasn't one who broke his leg and had to lie down in Jordan until the waters would come back and engulf him. Every one of them passed clean over, without exception. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ has made a way for his people to pass over. He is their ark, and as such, he guides them, and he guards them in their passage of the Jordan. Verse 5 has a wonderful statement we may come back to in another context, I'm not sure, but it's a wonderful statement that the Lord gives here. It's speaking particularly of the day of your death, the day of your crossing of Jordan. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. That's a promise to the children of Israel about the crossing of Jordan. And that is a promise that you and I, if we're saved, should hold on to before God as we approach the river of death. The Lord has promised his people he will do wonders for them in that day and in that hour. We don't need to live our lives in the fear of death. We don't need to live our lives just because death is something that always confronts us, that it must always distress us. No, that far from being the day of our greatest defeat will be the day of our greatest triumph, because the Lord will do wonders among us. See how he did wonders for the children of Israel. The waters were cut off, verse 16. The waters were cut off. Remember, that is the river of death. We think of us being cut off by death. But the Lord Jesus says, look at it another way. I have cut off the waters of death. Through death, he hath destroyed him that had the power of death. That is the devil. And delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That's why Paul could say in those famous words of 1 Corinthians 15 and 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. What has happened to sin? He put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. The strength of sin is the law. What has happened to the law? Christ has fulfilled its precept and he's paid its penalty. He has nailed every accusation against us to his cross. He has blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. That's why Paul can say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Because Christ had cut off the waters, as it were. That's still true for God's people. My, as you live, keep this in mind. And in the hour of your death, I pray God will emblazon it on your heart and soul. Christ has put away sin. Christ has satisfied the law. Christ has cut off the waters of death. There is nothing in it now that should rightly frighten a believer. And as I've pointed out, all the people passed over. What a truth it is that not one is left behind. None for whom the Lord Jesus acted on the cross will ever be left out. None who has ever known him in life will be forsaken by him in death. I want you to understand that. It's so simply put. But I want you to grasp that. Nobody who has ever known Christ in life will be forsaken by him in death. He secured his people forever beyond the reach of death. Look again at that picture in Joshua chapter 3. The people could see the priests going before. They saw them stand in the overflowing river. I have no doubt, if I know human nature, I have no doubt whatsoever that there were many people as they walked on toward Jordan who were saying, what on earth are we doing here? We're going to get drowned in this river. It was in full spate. It was flowing over its banks. They knew. They just knew. There was no way over. But then they saw the ark born and the priest standing in the water. They saw something they had never seen before. They saw the river pile up as if a mighty wall held back its waters. And these waters drain away. And they saw, this is as big a miracle as the damming of the waters, for the Jordan is one of the rockiest of all riverbeds. They saw God make a way on dry land through. Tell me, do you think they had any fear left? No. Now, there may have been some particular Arminian among them who felt maybe that wall will come crashing down. It's possible. But you see, the glorious thing is, whether you're an Arminian or not, that wall doesn't come crashing down. Hallelujah. They passed over on dry land. And with Christ going on before us, listen, we need never fear. There'll be a way through. There'll be a way through. And that great wall of water of the river of death will not crash down upon us. The hymn writer said, I won't have to cross Jordan alone. The truth of the matter is you won't have to cross Jordan at all. You cross a dry riverbed. You don't cross the river at all. It's a dry riverbed. And not one of us who knows Christ will be left out.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.